This is the Table for Two edition of the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, welcoming you to a show where inspiration comes in all forms and ages. And in today's episode, we approach it from a lens of a 14-year-old who has been winning hearts in the world of brushstrokes and blockchain. So gear up for an adorable conversation beyond pixels and paint with Teresa Melvin. Teresa is an artist who launched her first 1K generative art collection in August 2023. Prior to that, she has crafted and sold over 1,000 unique artworks across various digital mediums. Her artistry has also earned her recognitions at prestigious events, which include NFT New York, Make-A-Wish Foundation International, and many more. Apart from this, her work has also been exhibited at various events such as Blockchain Summit London, Art Basel Miami 2021, Dubai Expo, NFT Bali, and many more. In our conversation with Teresa today, we explore the world of starting early with art and passion and how important it is to build a creative odyssey with time. All this and more after a quick intro.
This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures.
And we are back. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to the Deliberate Talks podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Super excited to host you. And as the ritual goes, we start the show with a quick light question to prepare ourselves for a bigger round of intense questions. So let me start with asking you, what's a bigger nightmare for you? Your iPad battery draining to zero when you're doing a live sketch at a big event, or running out of ideas for your next collection?
I think for me, I can like totally relate to my iPad battery draining out. As like an artist, I always like, you know, keep drawing. And even when it says like a 5% sign, I just like forget about it. And then right when I have like a good idea to draw, it's just like, bam, it's 0%. So now when I'm at like big events or if I'm doing a live, my dad always says, hey, is it charged?
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay then, awesome. So now that we are all prepped up and ready for our first round of questions, let's start with talking about Kochi, Kerala, a place known for its rich culture and artistic heritage. Did the vibrant region influence your early doodle and creations? And can you also share any fond memories from there that sparked your creativity? But before that, how old were you when you actually first did your doodle?
It's hard to remember, but I started like drawing at like age 3, I feel like. Wow. Just like, you know, doodling, little scribbles here and there. That's when I started.
So how did the origin of Kochi influence you in the whole art process?
For me, you know, growing up in India, I cherish both like the Kochi and Palakkad, you know, backgrounds, because my mom was from Kochi, dad was from Palakkad. So I like cherish both of those memories. And I really got a great opportunity to experience like both the urban and more rural village life, where, you know, both of the worlds had its own beauty. And these two places, like, they really inspired me through the artworks that I did, even if it was just like little doodles. But that's where I started like always putting color in my artworks. That's like a big thing for me, you know, growing up in a very vibrant area. And it's like I got to, you know, eat mangoes and explore the beautiful paddy fields of Palakkad. It was really cool. And actually, a few years later in US, I created an NFT artwork collabing with like an amazing artist, Abhilash Nair. And he creates like digital, you know, Indian style masks and animates really well. So we created the NFT artwork Palakkad Vibe, and it merged my Avra Mona characters, his mask, and like a twist with animation.
Right. And just to continue this question, in terms of while you started at 3, who was that major influence? Your mom and your dad are into art as well in various forms. But who was that first inspiration? Or let me be a little more biased and ask you, who's your favorite artist amongst the two?
That's hard. My mom is like a really good artist as well. She does, you know, art full time. And my dad, my mom does like really big oil paintings. And my dad does like more portrait sketches. And it's really hard because we all have like really different ourselves, but I think my mom, she knows a lot about art. She knows a lot more about art. So
awesome. And just continuing this, you know, I read about it, the fact that your sketches also became a part of a title for one of the blockbuster movies called Bangalore Days, which I absolutely love. And this was when you were 5 years old. How did the opportunity firstly come about? And what was your reaction when you first saw your art on big screen?
Well, for me, it's like still a really proud moment to see, you know, my early scribbles and doodles on that movie title. Whenever I'm watching the movie, that's like, you know, the intro into the movie with the actors' faces next to it. So that was like a really cool experience to see. And that was like when I was 5 years old. And even though it's like barely any memories from that young of an age, I still have like the photographs and the memento that I received from Nibin Poly for the 100 day celebration. So that was like a really cool experience starting out just very early in my art journey. And it really inspired me to just keep going.
Lovely. And are you in touch with any of them from the movie, or you continue to do something for them in the future?
I don't know. We'll see. It's been a long time.
Okay. I'm just going to come now to your favorite characters, which you have created. You did mention about NFT world, and I'm going to get into that. But I'm very curious about knowing about the two characters that you have created. Eva and Ramona, right? That's what they are called. Lovely. Yes. The characters that you've created and launched are quite contrasting characters. What firstly inspired you to create these two distinct characters, and how have they evolved over time?
For me, it's like, since I'm like an only child, sometimes I wish to have siblings. And so I created these two characters when I was 9 and 11 years old. And I feel like they were, even though in my, you know, imagination, I really felt like, you know, they were with me. And when I created Ava at 9 years old, she represented like my calm personality, but like an optimistic mindset. And Ramona showed me that, you know, I could be confident and express my bold side. So these two characters, it wasn't just like fun to draw them, but it drew me towards like these two sides of me and to like explore these two sides of me. The bold side being revealed and the positive side that I will never lose. So yeah, that's basically how I started creating these characters. When I created Ava, at 9 years old, I really loved donuts. So I expressed my love for donuts through her. And I thought, you know, what if donuts is Ava's own thing? Maybe she bakes donuts and she wants to start her own bakery. So that's like how I created story. One little thing of what I liked or something about me, and then I make it really a whole story about them. And when I created Ava, it was like a COVID time when I was 11 years old, and I was joining an online art camp, and we were learning how to create different lines and textures. And that's, you know, what inspired the springs and Ramona's ginger curls, where it's always like so big and poofy. And that was thinking of, you know, things that I've never done before. And skateboarding was like one thing that interested me, and I've never done it. So I created skateboard-loving Ramona, and she always has like a bounce to her step and skateboard trick up her sleeve. That's the kind of person she is. And that's why these two characters, even though they seem so different, the fact that they're best friends represents how my mind is.
Wonderful. You know, I'm going to touch upon the NFT bit of it, but I really want to take a step back and understand, what if you weren't exposed to the world of NFTs and blockchain? How would Eva and Ramona come to life? What would you actually create them to be like? Would they be a comic? Would they be an animated series? What would they actually be if blockchain never existed for you in form of art?
For me, it's like, there's no like differentiation between, you know, digital art or NFT art or, you know, physical art. I'm just like using, you know, NFTs is like another, you know, medium for me. So I feel like, even though like going into NFTs in the NFT space showed me how to connect with a lot of other people, if I wasn't in the NFT space, I feel like I would still go on with Ava and Ramona. They would still be part of me. And, you know, I've always been interested in graphic novels and like creating short comics. So what you said about the graphic novels, I would probably do that too. And I still like willing to do that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So just talking about NFTs as well, you know, the world is talking about it at one point of time. And now there's a small segment still very interested in it, unknown to a lot of people across the world. But, you know, there is the pros and cons of NFT, which is a larger discussion for the later. But I want to know from your age perspective, when you go to school, when you go to meet friends around, what is their perception of NFT when they hear that you're a part of it and doing something significant there?
I feel like for them, they don't have, you know, much exposure on,
right,
you know, this new tech side, NFTs. It's still like a very new concept in schools and stuff. I do hear it sometimes in schools about, you know, AI or Web3. That does come up. But I feel like it's such a new concept. And for my friends, they don't know about it much. In middle school, my friends did find out. If they searched their name, they could see. So they were like, oh my God, you never told me. But they're supportive of that. Even though they don't know what it really is,
right,
they support, you know, my artwork too. So that's like really, you know, motivating for me as well. And I feel like slowly, slowly, Web3 concept is going to be more, you know, widely known. And yeah, people do have like different perspectives on that. I feel like going deeper into this, you know, newer tech world, there's a bunch of possibilities and opportunities that comes with it where it doesn't have to be very fully involved in your life. That's like something that could help.
Right, right. Fabulous. And when did you decide that you want to make the generative art collection and launch it? You did launch it in August 2023, but I'm sure the planning goes back way longer. And when did you really decide what went through the planning? 1,000 art pieces with unique traits. How does the whole planning happen, and what did you go through?
You know, even though the collection was, you know, launched this year in August, it took me like a year to just, you know, think about it and create the traits and learn about, you know, tools like Bueno. Bueno was like a no-code tool which I used for to create my collection. So there was a lot of planning into this, which I didn't know it was going to be like this. But, you know, there's a lot of thought behind, you know, even the simplest. And I really felt that I wanted to do something more with Ava and Ramona, even before coming into this NFT space, even before I knew what that concept was, that I just felt like I needed to do something with these characters to make it more widely known to, you know, the budding artists, the young artists. So I, you know, I went to New York last year as well, and I learned about, you know, Bueno, went to Pablo Stanley's workshop, learned about it. And I got a lot of insights and, you know, feedback from a lot of like professional creative people in this space as well. And slowly, slowly, I was, you know, building Ava Ramona. Basically, and I wanted something that could, you know, leave an impact where I know that art could be like, you know, powerful. I wanted a way for it to be, you know, having an impact. So there's a lot of things that I'm planning with this, and I'm still like building on top of that Ava Ramona collection. I created the trades, I created a 1,000 piece generative collection, but that's not the stopping point. So
wonderful. And just speaking about impact as well, you know, 10% of each primary sale from your collection also goes to Adobe for Kids. Why did you choose this specific cause, and how do you feel about the impact your art is making in the world?
You know, just to start off saying, you know, my parents really value, you know, art, mm-hmm, and supported me all the way through my art journey from like the very beginning when I was started, like, you know, just like drawing on the walls. And they introduced me to like different mediums and even bought me my first iPad to create digital art in. And once I was, you know, got into the NFT space, I was able to create even more art about my characters, launching Ava Ramona. And then I participated in the Adobe for Kids digital art contest. And I was the winner for that. And that's how I started my first connection with Emily LaRusa. She's like an Adobe influencer, a pro designer and animator. And I really looked up to her, and she also like interviewed. And I was thinking, you know, through Ava Ramona, I wanted to expand the opportunity to create art for thousands of other kids around the world. So I collaborated with, you know, her nonprofit, Adobe for Kids, donating 10% of my primary sales of Ava Ramona to providing digital devices for deserving kids. And that was like a big thing where I was able to support emerging artists, young artists who didn't have the same opportunity as me. I could support them through my art. And that's why I feel like art has the ability to change the future and the now, especially with how art is being more widely, how do I say, accepted or, known through technology, through Web3. It's really enhancing the skills of an artist instead of, hiding it.
That's such a matured conversation, firstly. I want to congratulate you for that. This is the kind of conversation that a lot of people take years to reach at a point saying, okay, we are now sufficient enough to start helping others as well. And you have done that at a very early age. So that's fabulous stuff, Teresa.
Thank you.
And what are your future goals now, both professionally and artistically? Are there any upcoming projects or collaborations that you're particularly excited?
For me, about the collections, I really do want to expand Ava & Mona, and in the future, I want to create like an awesome art studio, a multi-purpose art studio filled with, paintings, different mediums from like paint or color pencils or digital art. And really want a space where I could sit down and I could find inspiration, learn about digital tools like After Effects, Blender, so much more. I have a room in my house right now that's like an art studio that my parents contributed to me. And I want to expand that into a bigger space where maybe in the future I could dedicate my time to creating workshops for kids or where I could like just create, tutorials and videos, live sessions on the go, have like the setup already there. So yeah, I really want a space like that where it's really colorful, very vibrant. There's a lot of sunlight and yeah, a physical art studio really. I feel like every artist needs an art studio of their own. Another thing is I do have some events planned, super excited for. In a week, actually, I'm traveling to Nashville, in the US for Kid 3 Co. And that event is really introducing kids to the Web3 world, to art in the Web3 world, everything like that. So I'll be speaking there, having a digital art workshop there. And then in November, I'm super excited for this. I'm planning a solo exhibition. And the thing of why I'm really excited about it is it's going to be back in my homeland. So after 5 years, I'm visiting there and I'm going to have a solo exhibition. And I want it to be really interactive for kids. It's not your, typical art gallery where you can just like walk around and see artworks, but I want kids to be involved in it. So I'm creating an art workshop, teaching kids about digital art and how I created my generative collection and the possibilities of, art as well. So it's going to be really exciting.
Very good, very good. Good luck for that.
Thank you.
And just summing up this round, I want to touch upon one other thing that you interestingly said was preparing tutorials and videos, which you've been doing, and you have your own YouTube show as well. You've been interviewing a couple of artists, I see. And firstly, for the larger world, why did you start this, and why is it important for other artists to do this as well?
It's like my YouTube live series is called Art and Chat. And, that's where I connect with amazing artists and we both draw together and chat together. And where this happened, really, it started when I created, the small videos at age 9, just sharing my artwork, sharing my stories. That's how I slowly, got more confidence to appear in front of the camera. And that led to connecting with other people as well. Because I used to be, believe it or not, like an introverted artist. It would be hard for me to talk to other people, even if they were artists as well. So I feel like having these, live interviews, it's not only like really fun to talk to other people, but to also share the insights of another artist's art journey, how they came to be, and like see that it's not like different levels, like these people are superior. It's nothing like that. It's really about, the journey of the artist. And I wanted to share that with a lot of, budding artists. And that's why, I encourage them to join my live as well. And I think it's really important for artists and young artists to connect with people like them, people that are different that, to collab with, because that's really a big part of the creative economy is collaboration. That's what's like coming to be. That's what's happening right now. And yeah, Art and Chat is basically why I wanted to do art with them is it's my two favorite things, creating art, talking to people. So merging those two together and bam, you got it. And I recently did a live, I think a week ago, I did a live with Sabit, and that was super fun. You know, Sabit, he's like really big in the art and NFT world. And it was amazing to know about his journey and creating art with him. So yeah, and apart from my art and chat YouTube live series, I used to do these like short 1 minute, tutorials about Procreate. And why I wanted to do that was it was really fun to share the tips and tricks of what I already learned. So simple, but it could be so useful to learn about. And this is how I got used to creating, content in a short period of time, because it's important to learn that, or else taking so much time doing every single video is going to be, first of all, a strain. And also, I have school. So a lot of kids have school. So yeah, you can like visit my YouTube channel, Teresa Melvin Art, for tutorials and art and chat live sessions.
Go for it. Go subscribe right now, everyone. Wonderful stuff, Teresa. This is the wrap up first round of questions. I'm going to move to the last round of questions, which is the rapid fire round of questions. And this is where I get to roast you a little with fast questions coming at you. So, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, then, in 60 seconds, five of your favorite NFT projects, right?
60 seconds. I really love Girlies. Girlies is an NFT project by Valeria, and she's a teen artist just like me, and she's amazing. Then there's Savit. He's like, I love his doodles. I love his, graffiti style of things. Then there's Amber Vittoria. She does like really colorful artworks, and they're very neat and straight, and I think it's super cool. You might know Amrith Pal. He's like a 3D artist, and I love how, it's so simple looking, but it's really appealing to look at. And one artist that's not in the NFT space is Laven Pham. She's a graphic novel artist, and I love reading her graphic novels, seeing the stories she creates with her drawings, because it's very loose style.
Wow. Okay. In 50 seconds, tell me one of your most favorite artists and why.
My favorite artist. That's really hard to choose, but I have a lot of favorite artists that are my age as well. Like Anastasia, she creates very colorful artwork, and she's around my age as well in the Web3 space. And Rainbow Mocha, she's like an amazing, she's an amazing speaker and artist as well.
Super. In 40 seconds, everyone should try their hand once in art because complete the sentence.
Everyone should try their hand once in art, because art is basically just another form of, storytelling and journalism. I feel like everyone should try it. That's how, looking back on it, you can see how you were at the time. You could see what you were thinking when you were drawing. That always happens to
Right. Wonderful. In 30 seconds, what is the coolest reaction that you have received or the most favorite thing someone has told you about your work?
You know, the moment like a big personality like Gary Vee saw my artwork, and he appreciated me on a live stream and commented on my Twitter about my work. He also started like following me as well. He saw my artwork that I did for his contest. And my dad carried that drawing on a t-shirt, and he went to VCon, and Gary Vee signed it as well. So that was like the coolest thing that ever happened, really.
Amazing. Okay. In 20 seconds, what's the most weirdest or the funniest thing you have ever doodled and never published?
I have a bunch of sketchbooks, and in there I would draw, whatever I saw. I would draw just the randomest things. I actually have my sketchbook here, and it's like really thick with drawings and stuff as well. It has like the
Wow.
random things. It's like I want to sleep now, or just yeah. So it's like whatever I just draw in there, because it's really fun to look back at.
Wonderful, wonderful. And finally, in 10 seconds to get started with as an artist, your favorite tool, software, or tech that you recommend for someone who wants to start?
All right. I started with Procreate, a digital art app, and it's really fun. There's a bunch of things you could do on there. a lot of different types of brushes. There's also an animation feature in there, and you could watch, you know, my Instagram to see the art I create or some tutorials on that. So I'm still learning the different techniques and stuff in Procreate. So.
Fabulous stuff, Teresa. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for being a part of this. This is really super cool, inspiring conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed hosting you. I hope you had a good time too.
Of course, I had so much fun. Thank you so much for interviewing me. It was amazing. I had such a fun time.
Lovely. Thank you so much, and wishing you nothing but the best and good luck for those exhibitions and everything that you're coming up with next.
Of course. Thank you.
And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to all the audio and video channels of The Deliberate Talks and Pixelated Egg. Join me next week for a Table for One edition. Until then, be curious, be adventurous, and never stop learning. Cheers.